When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
"We'll all go local" sounds like something you'd say in rural Ireland. Oh, she's gone local.
From Headstuff Studios, welcome to Mother Folklore, a podcast about words, Irish words, and words from Ireland. Dara Coshay is away this week, which was probably a mistake on his part because he let me and Garadine do an episode, and it's a sweary one. So we just want to warn you in advance, this very academic, very highbrow episode contains an awful lot of rude words and maybe shouldn't be consumed by anyone of a sensitive disposition or anyone who's got children in the room or in the car. So, you know, bear with us. We'll be back with a lot less swears next week. But if you don't mind that sort of language, stay tuned because this is an interesting one. Yes, released from our censorious podcast father, unbound by the shackles of good taste, it's Padraig Cuivanaigh and Garadine McAvoy here, unfettered and uncensored. And you can call this one Mother Folklore After Dark. Derek has foolishly taken a week off to let us get to the nub of some of the feedback we tend to get in the mailbag on occasion. And Garadine, you'll be familiar with this because it's normally aimed at you.
Yep.
We sometimes get emails, feedback from loyal listeners who are, they're not really happy with the some of the words that we choose to use.
Yep. Yep, they have issue, which, listen, we appreciate people taking the time to like, and I genuinely mean that, I'm not being facetious or sarcastic there. We do appreciate that people taking the time to like to tell us their feedback and like give us positive feedback, negative feedback, criticisms, you know, constructive criticisms. It's all good. We like hearing from you. And one of the, I guess it's probably the most consistent feedback we get, like overall, is related to our use. And I mean, when I say our use, I mean almost exclusively Pather and myself, that's who it's directed at, our use of swear words, because not only do we like pepper them throughout our speech, I think both of us tend to use them for punctuation, and that appears to be a problem for some people, which, yeah, I understand on a certain level.
I twigged it. Do you remember last year we did a podcast about disfluencies in language? And that's, yeah, when you
it's just you and I swearing for 40 minutes.
But no, when like, as a disfluency, for anybody who hasn't heard the episode, in English it's like that sort of interjection, whereas in Irish we've codified them and we have words and you can say yerra or moisha or ara, but apparently for Garadine and I it's just fuck.
Jesus.
Jesus great fucking Christ, God, yeah. So
yeah, and people tend not to like that, apparently not everybody does that. So I know when I lived in America, I was confronted with my own sailor swearing ability when we had I've completely forgotten her name, Brianna Parkinson,
Brianna Parkinson,
who is from Australia, and we talked a lot about swearing there because it's a national pastime in Australia, and yeah, that got very sweary very quickly, because it was us two and an Australian in the room.
Yeah, so, my God, yeah. I swear to God, her use of the C word was just, it was nothing short of an art form.
I loved it. And in that vein, you know, what, instead of sort of like critiquing or swearing at the criticism we get, we decided to tackle it kind of head on and bring you a sweary episode today, bring you an episode about swearing. As Pather said at the outset, Dad's not here, so everyone's swearing. And on that, we are delighted to introduce our special guest today, who some of you may know, because I know some of our listeners to the show recommended her podcast to me, and that's how I became a fan. And we're delighted to introduce all the way from Tucson, Arizona, I believe, Dr. Megan Figueroa from the Vocal Fights podcast.
Hey there.
Hi, Megan.
I am so excited to be here. Normally, I get kind of nervous doing interviews or podcast interviews. And I was just stoked because I was like, we're going to cuss the entire time. Like, that this is going to be so much fun. It's you know, nothing to be nervous about because I get to cuss all I want. Though, you know, on our podcast, The Vocal Fries, we cuss all we want as well. If you don't know, our podcast is about linguistic discrimination and the way that we can discriminate based on how people talk, etc. And this is a very good example. Of course, swearing is a very good example. Of this, and our tagline is "Do not be an asshole." So we come right out the gate cussing, swearing, yes, with the profane.
To be fair, Megan, that is a very mild cuss word. Like that's like a gateway swear.
Absolutely. No, I know. I agree. And it's funny. We should talk about this too, though, because I feel like the, you know, whether or not a swear is more powerful or not depends on where you are. So we're, you know, I mean, you're both from Ireland, right? But Garrett, you're in Finland right now. I don't know if, you know, I'm sure there are some different swears there that I'd be like, that doesn't sound like a swear, you know? So asshole seems so mild, so mild. But we still have some people that will not say it. They'll censor themselves when they say it. And it's funny because when we first started the podcast like 3.5 years ago now, my co-host Carrie was putting it on Apple Podcasts and she actually wrote like, don't be an asshole in the description. And Apple Podcasts kicked us off because you can't use the word asshole in a description. Yeah. So we had to resubmit our podcast. Like the first thing that ever happened to our podcast was being kicked off Apple Podcasts. So
that's so metal though. Yeah. That's so cool. You should lead with that every time.
Yes, yes. So now it's I think in some places we say don't be a jerk, or we talk about how not to be a jerk about language. And jerk is just like, so that's not even mild. It doesn't even make it, you know, like there's no temperature on that. It's just, it's nothingness.
I was about to say it's a stone cold, but it's not, because like stone cold is another extreme. It's really, it's a tepid fucking word. Jerk.
It's a tepid
water,
fucking word.
Afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's like, okay, well, I mean, I guess the message is the same, but not. Like, I think the thing about swearing is that it changes your message a bit. Like, I use my, like, swear words for a reason, and I, you know, want them to be heard. There's a reason why I use it, and it changes my message, my tone. So jerk versus asshole, I guess I'll put up with it, but they're two different things to me.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you're saying about, like, you use swear words with intent is that, like, sometimes it just sort of comes out and I don't think about it. But, like, very often I find that if I'm making, I mean, Pather and I tend to get animated sometimes about, like, Irish and the status of the Irish language on this podcast. And we vent about it. And I tend to get, like, irritated about things and then I'll start swearing. And I feel like for some people, that undermines my point to them. And that's really frustrating because I care a lot about this. I'm showing you I care about it and I'm swearing.
Right.
It just upsets me that suddenly that we're completely going to disregard what she says, regardless of the narrative. Because the other side of that is if I'm saying like some crazy white supremacist nonsense, but I'm not swearing, you going to listen to me?
Right,
or are you
exactly.
just going to disregard what I said because I'm swearing?
Right. Well, so you both get complaints about your swearing, but Garrettine, you get more, right? I'm guessing.
I mean, I feel like I get more. I don't know if I do, but
I don't think it's ever personalized. And I understand exactly where I understand exactly where you're coming from, Megan, because there is this sort of this expectation that ladies should be ladylike and boys are allowed to cuss a little bit. But no, the whole podcast gets it. This is what makes poor pod dad Darek. Yeah, it's why don't you guys clean up your act? Why don't you guys tidy up your language a bit?
Yeah.
I don't like the swearing. So it's
well,
never been
it's
personalized,
equal opportunity.
Which is great because we're getting away with fucking murder as a result.
Like, I do think that this is directed at our producer. I remember listening to an episode very early on, and he would initially bleep us, and he's kind of given up on that now, which I appreciate.
I think he gave up halfway through an episode. Poor Brian, our long-suffering producer. I remember listening to an episode, and Garradine and I were both on it, and I was swearing, Garradine was swearing, and there were maybe 3-4 bleeps. And then at some stage, Brian just went, oh, fuck it, I'm not arsed.
Yeah, but I remember listening to one once, and I remember I was getting bleeped, and you weren't getting bleeped as much. You were getting bleeped, but I was like, he's let a few swear words slip, and he hasn't let mine. And I was like, maybe he's just not hearing it because it's a man, because ooh, Brian is a misogynist.
Right. No, it's, yeah, that's so funny. That reminds me of so many studies that say, like, if a woman is talking in the boardroom, men or even other women will think that she's taken up more time than she has. So it's kind of like, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, sometimes people don't hear swear words when men say them.
Yeah, I think it's what you were saying. It does seem a little bit shocking when it comes, because I experienced that a lot when I lived in the States, that I lived in a rural part of America. I lived in Missoula, and people weren't that sweary. And I kind of came along, and I was this like little Irish person. And I guess there was maybe stereotypes about an Irish person. And then I was like, fuck, shit, bastard. And they were like, what? So it was a little shocking. Whereas my like 6'1" Irish friend who was swearing, it wasn't as shocking coming from that guy. But from me, it seemed to be a little shocking. So I do think there may be that aspect to it. But again, as Pather said, it's everybody. Well, it's not everybody. It's me and Pather.
Right.
That's why we're here. This is an intervention. Megan, please give us permission to swear.
Yeah, no. I was going to say, this is not an intervention. This is like the opposite of an intervention, where you give the person permission to keep doing the behavior.
We've tried to organize an intervention, but basically Megan is
showing... We've an enabler. Yeah, we hired an enabler to come here and tell us to swear.
We've organized an intervention, and Megan has showed up with a six-pack of cans. Like,
Exactly.
Hey, I hear you guys reached step 4. Yeah, cheers.
Well, I mean, yeah, every single one of our episodes has an E for explicit on it. So, do you all have to, did it go from not having the E to now there's no, like, the bleeping sound happening?
I have no idea.
Yeah. There was a time when Derek would occasionally record a warning before each episode to say there may be some swears in this one. Right. Now just, no, it's like, fuck it. Yeah, there's
and
a lot.
And then all the week we're just weeded out. So the listeners who couldn't hack it.
Wait, is there a stereotype of Irish people that y'all are like huge swearers? Is that a thing?
I think so.
Is that okay?
A thing? Yeah, yeah.
Well, maybe the Boston Irish, I feel like those people swear a lot, right?
I can see that.
Do we get attached to that? I don't know.
I don't know. I think Roddy Doyle has done a lot to, like 3 very successful Irish films. The Commitments, The Snapper, and The Van. I think at various stages had records before Quentin Tarantino bothered making movies. They had records for like the most swear words, most F words per minute, most
so
efforts per movie.
Yes.
I think Tommy Tiernan, the comedian, has a skit about it being pushed back against because the English language was forced on us. So we use fuck as a mechanism to break it down. I don't know how true that is. It's probably not, but I like it, so I'm going to keep swearing. But Megan, tell us a little bit about swear words, if you could, about like the usage of them, because you guys swear and you're a linguist. Talk to us about it.
Yeah, well, one of my favorite things about swearing is that there are studies that actually investigate how swearing helps with pain tolerance. I don't know why this is what I come out the gate with the pain tolerance thing, but just to show like the practicality of swearing, there is this researcher, Dr. Richard Stevens, who's in the UK, who is, to say this man loves swearing is understatement, but he has done so much research, and I think it was 2009, which is the study that showed that swearing has like a hypoalgesic effect. It actually lessens pain perception. It raises your pain tolerance and raises pain threshold. So when you start feeling the pain and how long you can tolerate pain is longer if you're repeating a swear word versus repeating a neutral word or a made-up swear, which is really cool.
Yeah. That's mad. Swearing is good for your health, guys.
Yes.
You heard it here first.
Yes. So
that's why when you hit your thumb with a hammer, you don't say, oh, chopsticks.
Right. No, exactly.
You give it a Jesus.
Okay. All right, you said that, Peter. I have to read this line, okay, from his article that I thought was the most hilarious thing. So, okay. Cathartic swearing may occur in painful situations. For example, giving birth or hitting one's thumb with a hammer. And I was like, yes, the two most painful things that could happen.
Those two situations are exactly equivalent.
Yes, of course.
I have experienced the pain of childhood through being shit at repairing things.
Oh, that's brilliant. Oh my God.
It's,
I love that.
It's but so funny.
I will swear, like, if I hurt myself or if I mess something up, I'll give it a... Yeah, my sewing machine gets a lot of it all the time. I constantly swear at it. And my boyfriend, who's not Irish, is always like, what's that? What's wrong? What's happening? And I'm like, nothing. The fucking thing is fucking broken. Fuck, fuck, fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's like, all right.
Exactly. No, and it's a really emotional language too, right? So it, you know, you know, there's theories. I mean, people are still studying why it would have this, like, pain lessening effect. Maybe the idea that it kind of, or it starts the fight or flight in us. And so, like, you know, like, there's, you know, we don't really know why, but if something is happening where it does, you know, lessen pain. And also, okay, so another thing that's really cool about swearing is that it's kind of like this in-group thing. Like, it's kind of community or friend building, because there's this idea, like, theory of mind. So if you're around people that you feel comfortable enough with, that you know well enough, that you think that they will be okay with your swearing, and then you swear, that's kind of knowing what the other person's thinking and wanting to be closer to them in some way. So it can build intimacy. Like, that's really cool too. So, like,
because there's different, like, I definitely swear in certain ways, in certain groups. Like, I have a group of friends who I will call bitch all day. And, like, I'm not going to do that to, like, the woman who works in the Lidl down the road.
No.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not
going to
say, thanks, bitch. You know, that's rude.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
Wait, are we getting to grips with why you had to leave Ireland and go to Finland, finally?
I just kept swearing at people. They chased me out.
I called the woman in the pub a bastard.
But that's really funny in terms of, because you said at the outset, like, about the C word, which I don't like saying. It's a swear word that I tend not to say, mm-hmm. because to me it sounds very harsh. But if you're in Australia, that's a term of endearment very often. And, you know, that's an in-group thing, whereas, mm-hmm. you know, it definitely wouldn't be, I'm not going to call my friend a cunt, you know.
Yeah, the U.S. is not comfortable either.
Now that I say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I have done that in the past, actually. Now that it leaves my lips, maybe I have. But yeah, I think in the U.S., sorry, you were saying.
No, yeah, no, we're not okay with it. Cunt is very scary for a lot of people. Just stay away from it. And then, like, if people do use it, it feels, especially men, it feels very aggressive. So it feels even violent if men use cunt. If anyone that's not male uses it, I don't find it aggressive in the US. But you know, like you said, in Australia, it's different. And that just reminds me of, okay, so thinking about, like, similar word, like pussy, we're also very uncomfortable with it in the US because we're just like, I don't know, we are so prudish here. But anything that has to deal with, like, genitalia, we're like, no, that's too taboo.
Yeah.
That's, I want to stay away from it.
Strangely enough, the C word, when it migrated over here, it did so without the association with the female genitalia. Because like I definitely knew, you know, I was definitely saying cunt long before somebody told me that's a very gendered swear word and maybe you should stop. And I'm saying it uncomfortably for the purposes of this podcast, but you're right about, like, Australia. Mm-hmm. I think what Brianna said was, and I don't know if this made it to the podcast, this may have been left on the cutting room floor, but, like, you call your mates cunts and your cunts mate.
Like, you say mate in an aggressive way.
Yeah.
Mate.
All right, mate. And that's way more aggressive than throwing around the C words. But yeah, in the US, it's like, it's top tier swear. It's like the number one thing you can't. It's one of, did it even make it into George Carlin's seven words you can't say on television? I think was it even too rude for that?
I don't know if it did. Yeah, I think it probably
what
was.
What are the seven words you can't say on television?
Yeah,
I've never heard of this.
Oh, it is there. Cunt is there.
Yeah, it is there.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
So get the bleep.
It is.
shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits.
I was gonna ask
was hell there, because I see people censor themselves in America with hell all the time, which to me is not a swear word.
We're so fake religious here
with heck.
It's just like the whole blasphemy thing. People are like, and they won't say Jesus fucking Christ, or not, they won't say that for sure, but they won't say Jesus Christ or God like in vain. I think it's just like some holdover from being like this is very religious, or pretending to be religious kind of thing.
You're missing out on the those people are missing out on the catharsis of not so much Jesus, but Jesus. Like, that's very, I enjoy, that's probably my favorite one to say. It's just
the way we've changed that first syllable means you're very obviously not taking the Lord's name in vain, because his name wasn't
that's amazing. Okay, so Jesus versus Jesus.
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 So
it's like, instead of Jesus, instead of saying fuck, we'd say feck. Yeah. So to sort of soften it, like feck and Jesus, you know, and then Jesus softens the Jesus a little bit. Yeah. Like, if it's serious business, I'm saying Jesus. But if it's Jesus, you know, there's a difference.
So serious business, do you mean giving birth or hitting one's thumb with a hammer?
If you hit your thumb with a hammer, you're entitled to a full on Jesus Christ.
Yeah, exactly.
But say if you spilt some of your dinner down your shirt, it's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, that reminds me of another thing. So I say Jesus Christ sometimes, but I really like Jesus fucking Christ. And it reminds me of how fucking is so, so versatile, because you can be like abso-fucking-lutely. Like the way that, you can put it in the middle of words. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I remember you guys talking about this on one of your podcast episodes, and like how versatile fuck is.
Oh, it's so versatile. It's my favorite.
Yeah, it can you can swap it right into like abso-fucking-lutely. Mm-hmm. Motherfucking Christ, like,
yeah, exactly,
motherfucking, but
no, it's great,
you know. Just, and I like, yeah, it's so versatile. And I think I was talking to my boyfriend about this yesterday, and I was like, you know, it really demonstrates a higher level of intellect and an understanding of how the English language works. And he was like, okay.
I think the fact that we in Ireland can successfully use fuck or its derivatives as a noun, adjective, adverb, interjection, conjunction, like there was an example years ago, was she wanted me to go to the super fucking market, but I'd be fucked if I'm going to give a fucking fuck about that fucking fuck. and the thing is, that makes sense to me. Like, inherently, I know what each of those fucks refers to. And
that's fantastic. It's like the, have you guys seen that episode of The Wire where,
Spunk and McNulty.
And Spunk, and they have that entire conversation by saying fuck. It's so good.
Yes.
It's one of the best scenes ever recorded.
It's amazing. I can't remember now if I think we included it in our swearing episode for the Vocal Fries, a clip of it, because it's just so amazing. It's so beautiful. It's such a good word.
Yeah, Brian, put that in.
Put a clip in.
Motherfucker. Fucking A.
Mm-hmm. Fuck. Motherfucker. Fuck me.
Pow. So, Megan, there's an important distinction to be made, and I suppose talking about the C word and how things like blasphemy offend people, there's a distinct difference between profanity and a slur.
Absolutely, and I was thinking about that,
Is that line immutable, or does it shift with culture? Does it shift with every person, or can it be defined in intent?
Oh, well, all of those things, but it's important to remember that, you know, like, intent versus impact. So, like, in the U.S., well, and anyone really that comes to the U.S. should never use the N-word, right? As a non-Black person, I'm never going to say the N-word. That's a slur. But when it comes to something like bitch, some people might actually find that to be, you know, individually think that that's kind of like a slur. They don't want to use it, right? And some people are reclaiming it for their communities. So it gets really hairy very quickly. But there are just some words that are, you know, like when it comes to like these immutable things about people, like the N-word, or, you know, I'm Mexican-American, there's words like spic and beaner that are, you know, I can say them, but no one outside the community should say them because they're slurs about my community. Those are the type of things that I would never condone. But when it comes to fuck and, you know, like shit and all of that, you know, they're not referring to people, right? They're not being derogatory toward people, toward things about people that can't be changed. So I think that's an important thing to remember.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point you're making there, because, and you mentioned it about the development of words and reclaiming words, because you see that with a queer, for example, being reclaimed by a queer community and being celebrated. And you see that with other words as well. But I think right now we're recording this before Christmas. Mm-hmm. There's been, again, the discussion about this very famous song from an Irish group called Fairy Tale of New York, which contains a slur. Mm-hmm. And there's every year there's this like awful debate about whether or not you should be allowed to play it or sing it. Right. And the writer and singer of the song has effectively said, don't say it. Like wrote that, you know, it was a different time. We didn't know. Mm-hmm. And we now know more. It's a slur for the gay community, essentially.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And with the development of it, they're mm-hmm. like, okay, we don't want you to play it or say it, so play the version that doesn't have it in it. But every year you have people being like, no, I get to say it, blah, 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 because it's a great song, you shouldn't change it. Well, you know better now. And the artist has literally said, I know better now.
And there's another version. Stop. There's a version without it, right? So then why not just play that if you know, like, not only the artist, but the community that the slur is, you know, referencing or, you know, says, I don't want you to say that. Yeah.
This crops up every year because what you're essentially doing is taking away what lots of straight white men thought was their excuse to use the F-slur. And like, we're not allowed to say that anymore. And you're taking away our only chance to say it because we get to scream it whenever this song is on. And you kind of try and explain to people, but it makes people upset because they hear that word and it's not used in a Christmas song. It's used to demean them. And like the song Fairy Tale in New York, the voice of the character that's singing is like, mm-hmm. it's written so that the person that's saying this is the worst imaginable person. That's, you know, they're trying to make her out to be an awful, awful person. That's why that word was chosen for its impact. And it's not about, it's for a lot of people I know and a lot of queer people that I've spoken to, it's not so much about the song itself. And they're not really, you know, take or leave the song. It's not great to hear that word, but it's there and it's a piece of work and it's done. But it's the constant enjoyment of saying that word you're not allowed to say anymore. It's such a taboo that to have this legitimized reason to say it was causing it to be far more impactful than it should have been and is really upsetting a lot of people. So I mean, just don't fucking play it.
I think on that it's important to say that like there's no such thing as a language police. I love when people are like, oh, they're telling you what you can and can't say.
Yes.
Yeah, we are, but like, no one's going to come and arrest you for saying the word, but I reserve the right to call you a dickhead if you do say it.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, we reserve the right to get mad at you for saying it and call you out and maybe even lose your job if you are in a position where you're doing that or calling out or, you know, using slurs against a minority group of people. You have to see how that makes you a dick, you know?
Right. Yeah, no. Or, you know, the whole don't be an asshole thing. It's true. And this conversation is constantly happening in the U.S. about the N-word. And because it's in a lot of songs, a lot of rap songs. But the people that are using it in the rap songs they can do whatever they want with the word. But the people that are singing or rapping along that are not black, you know, there are people that are like, why can't I say it if they do? I'm like, you're not of that community. You know, don't do it. And still people will do it. And you're right that it's kind of like, I don't know, saying the forbidden word somehow feels good or something like that. There's a big difference between saying fuck versus saying a slur. Saying fuck is not, you're not harming any one community by saying that. But if you use a slur, you are. It's a big difference.
Yeah, and I think the impact is doubled then when that particular community is an inherently minoritized community. When you're punching down on a community, like, that's even worse in that scenario. Like, you're already kicking someone who's down with your usage of a slur.
And as much as you know, rich white people have tried to make it happen, there are no slurs that punch up.
Cracker. Yeah, people have really tried to say, like, oh my God, cracker is a slur about white people. Yeah, I don't know. What is in Ireland? Are there any, like, white specific words that people are like,
I mean,
I'm offended?
West Brit? Calling someone a West Brit, there's that discourse.
So that was the discourse. The that's painful. That's absolutely painful. Like, the term West Brit was invented about 100 years ago to try and describe someone who lives their life more in the British fashion than in the Irish fashion. Now, at the time, the British were in charge. So it was somebody who was pro-establishment and liked British things and not Irish things. So they were called a West Brit. And then over the years, that became, actually, it became quite... quite an endearing insult for someone. I was called a West Brit for favouring games like cricket and rugby instead of our native games. And there's no...
Wait, what's your native game?
Oh, girl. Oh, listen. Let me talk to you about hurling.
Okay.
Yeah, we play a game called Gaelic football, which is kind of like a cross between rugby and soccer, and we play a game called hurling, which is kind of like a game between field hockey and murder.
Yeah. So there's a lot of swearing, right? A lot of swearing on the field.
Oh yeah, of course.
Oh,
okay. Oh yes, absolutely.
You know how in some sports, I don't know if it's the case in American football, but I know in rugby, like, the referee has a mic, so you can hear what's going on the pitch. Like, for censorship reasons, before the watershed on Irish television, you could not have microphones on the pitch because of the swearing happening.
Wait, is pitch the same as field?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. Oh, no, I'm just wondering.
I never knew that was a different one.
They're both very sweary games. Like, they're very, very sweary. Like, soccer is a sweary game, and rugby isn't, because you have to be polite to the referee. You have to call the referee sir. And it's a little bit, it's a little bit sweary between the players, but not really.
Wait, so you can't say, sir, fuck you?
You can't say, fuck you, sir. That's a red card. You're straight off the field for that. But oh my God, like, I mean, hurling and Gaelic football, they're very, very sweary. They're very sweary.
And even the spectatorship of it is very sweary as well.
I would never watch
a game and not swear constantly when I'm watching it.
Okay, it's Jibs here from Pints of Malt. So our podcast is basically a group of Irish Nigerian lads who tell their stories growing up in Ireland as well as Nigeria. And we share our experiences with all of y'all. We also add a bit of comedy as well, you know, to get y'all laughing, get y'all through the week in these tough times that we are in. So y'all sit back and just, you know, enjoy the show.
As Jib said, we're the Pints of Malt podcast. You can find us on all streaming platforms, including the Hestive Network.
Heather, you were called a West Brit for liking cricket?
Yeah, and it was just affectionate. Like, it was before I started playing baseball. It was very much about the British sports that I was playing. And, like, they're just the games I like playing, so I didn't mind. I didn't take it back, you know, I didn't take it too badly. It's very affectionate, I found. But now the discourse has gone totally toxic, and apparently calling someone a West Brit is a slur because they don't...
It's not a slur.
It's not, though. It's an insult.
It's not.
It's like calling someone...
Yeah, it's an insult. Sure. Yeah, there's a big difference. Insult versus slur. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I find very often the people who get most upset about the West Brit slur discourse, people who get most upset about the West Brit insult / slur discourse are the people who... maybe exhibit West Brit behavior.
You're right.
The most.
Right. They're feeling a little bit insecure because, right, yeah. No, the insult versus slur thing is really important because I actually had this troll on Twitter he was trying to argue that asshole could be a slur depending on how someone took it. And I was like, no, that's not. That, no.
I mean, I will give you that. I'll give you that on the C word. Absolutely. If that impacts you in a way that right. makes you feel victimized and vulnerable, I will apologize. Yes. But there is no scenario under the sun no. where asshole or arsehole is a
no.
slur.
No.
Literally everyone has an arsehole.
Exactly. Like, so
I don't know how it could be a slur.
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, I didn't know if he was like, you know, these people who you don't know are sincere or if they're just trying to be fucking assholes. But it's like, oh, yeah. You know, we were very, like, we weren't, like, don't be a jerk. We don't say, like, even with, like, don't be a dick, we're like, we can't get in trouble with don't be an asshole, right? Like, there's no way people can, like, do anything with this. And yet someone tried real hard to make it seem like there was a problem with that.
Oh, so, they'll get offended at everything. You can't say anything anymore. Sure, you can't even say the words we used to sing in Christmas songs 30 years ago.
Ah, right, exactly. Exactly.
What's that meme of that? It's from the Robin Hood cartoon where it's like a spare oppression anybody. People who are trying to argue that asshole is a slur is like, give me some oppression, please.
Right, right.
There's
trying to make me interesting.
There's two sort of things at play in this idea of, like, you know, people complaining about not being able to say something and then simultaneously looking for the offense in what people say to them. It's that they're craving that oppression, that status that they think they would get, because being a minority is not great in every respect. You know, you're pretty ill-treated and there aren't a lot of you. That's mm-hmm. why it's called a minority. But, you know, mm-hmm. it's that sort of status that they see that they want. And then also, and this should never be underestimated, in the entire history of humanity, white people have not responded well to the phrase, that's not for you.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Well, they we've never had to, like, interrogate your own privilege or to question why you're allowed to be places, right? Because you're just allowed to be there. So right. then to be told that space isn't for you, I mean, it's difficult. But it doesn't mean you respond by being an asshole, you know? I just, you know, it's true. It's swearing too. I mean, like, I try to be really thoughtful. Like, you were talking at the top of the show, but the Vocal Fries too, we love getting feedback from people. And yeah. I always try to be really thoughtful about it, but we've had a couple instances. And I think we get less than you do because our whole show is about linguistic discrimination, right? So, like, people don't want to write in and tell us how to speak. But when they do, boy, it's real good. It's real juicy. So it's oh. So I wanted to share with you one that we got.
Oh, and yes, share it with the class.
Okay, because it hits all. It's very American, and I don't know. My co-host is Canadian, but lived in America for like 10 years, or for in the U.S. for 10 years. So, but I get to say, you know, as an American through and through, that America is terrible, and this is such an American thing. Okay, so all right, I'm gonna only read part of it. So this is from someone. We'll call her Jay. Just to let you know, I spent 30 years in the United States Marine Corps, and I can outswear you.
What the fuck did you just fucking say about me, you little bitch? I'll have you know I graduated top of my class in the Navy SEALs, and I've been involved in numerous secret raids on Al-Qaeda, and I have over 300 confirmed kills.
When I'm out in the field, and when I was in Iraq in combat duty, every other word out of my mouth was vile. It was considered effective communication. But in civilized society, it has no place. Trust me, you're not cool, and your cash is not increased with vulgar language in this vulgar platform, yet I'm forced to listen to it for a grade. Again, I kindly ask you to stop swearing.
Wow.
If you could see my face.
Let's see. Garrity.
Oh, my God.
Garrity, can you... We're gonna try and give that one word reactions in Hiberno English swearing.
And I'm gonna go with.
Okay, you go ahead.
I'm gonna go with a big old Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus.
I was gonna say Jesus, but I suppose I'll go with a Fuck.
Just a really long one. Yeah, I know. No, it's this. Okay, so you know, like the whole, like, I can swear like a sailor thing. I feel like there's this weird thing in the US where it's like, I was in the military, like the military is like your way to say, I know how to cuss kind of thing. Like, I can cuss because I was in the military. I don't know what it, and I see one part says that, I'm greatly offended by the asshole, fucking, and other bad language you use. It is not necessary, and it demeans your solid work.
I mean, to quote...
Please take this out of your repertoire.
I'm to, like, quote Archer, phrasing. I'm really offended by the what? The asshole? Oh, my God.
Yes, no, I know, podcast. I know, that the asshole, fucking. It's... I'm like... Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I am obsessed with that. I want to change the topic of my PhD and write a dissertation about that small extract that you gave us. Every line is more shocking than the next. I'm obsessed.
I'm finding it incredibly, incredibly difficult to believe that someone who is involved in the invasion and occupation of a foreign country finds a few words two women use on a podcast offensive.
Yes! Thank you.
Stunner, guys.
No, see, this is so American, right? This is like, I'm like, oh, the privilege of being an American. You're right on. It's like, I can be in Iraq and just be this hostile, like, takeover of this country. And I can be in the Marine Corps for 30 years and I can cuss better than you can. But you better not cuss in this podcast because I listen to it. And this is a woman. This is a woman telling two women.
There's some Full Metal Jacket chick going on there, like, you know, I've been in the shit. I've got the thousand yard stare.
Exactly.
I looked Charlie in the eye and I pulled the trigger, but please stop swearing on the podcast.
God forbid you would swear.
It makes my brain sad when you use the bad words. Please stop.
Well, it's so funny because it's like, she's telling us you have great solid work in there. And I'm like, you must not actually be listening, because why did you write us this email? If you got anything from our podcast, it just seems like the cognitive dissonance is
right.
Is strong with this one, obviously. Yeah. It's funny. So,
at least you know, Megan, she's not fucking listening to Motherfuckler for a class credit.
Yes.
You can unload on her with both barrels here. Like, give her the fucking full gun, Megan. Call her a bollocks.
Wait, is bollocks a bad word?
Yes.
Oh, listen, wasn't that used in the New York Times recently, or like the New Yorker or something? They used bollocks, and everyone in Ireland lost their minds. Collectively. Like, hey, bollocks.
There are
how much? Is it like shit or is it like fuck?
It's like shit.
Okay, so a little bit milder.
If you dropped something, like, or if you, like, again, if I hit my thumb with a hammer, I might say bollocks.
So you know the way bullshit is a rude word. Like, you couldn't say bullshit on TV before the watershed. Sure. You can never say bullshit on network TV. But it means when someone is talking crap. In Ireland, when someone is talking crap, we say they're talking bollocks.
Yeah.
So that's about where it is on the spectrum of swears. But I always find it so endearing and cute because you're such a young country. But that there are swear words that would be deeply offensive in Britain or in Ireland that Americans think are quite twee and are cutesy little words to say. And like the standout offender is wanker, which I've seen an awful lot as sort of, oh, aren't the British funny the way they talk? Wanker. It's like, no, that's a really strong insult for somebody.
Oh, is it? What about shite? Is shite a bad word?
Shite is like the feck and Jesus. So it's like a less harsh version of shite.
Shit.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. If somebody's talking shit, they're doing something that you really want them to stop. If somebody's talking shite, they're maybe just being mildly annoying.
Yeah.
Okay. And then bloody? Yeah. Bloody hell, is that?
That's more British, I guess. I'd never really say that.
Okay.
And it's very mild. It's like goddamn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I would call an Irish person a West Brit for saying bloody. West Brit.
I think it sounds wrong. It sounds wrong in most Irish accents. It really does.
Yeah, I would think actual blood, like, I would expect, where's the blood? Who's bloody? You know?
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Although that said, in Dublin we do tend to use the term bleeding.
Yeah, that's bleeding. Different though.
Like instead of bloody, we say
but
bleeding.
But that's not a swear.
He's bleeding ugly. No, it's not a swear. He's bleeding ugly, but
okay. No, it's like an intensifier. So like he's very ugly. He's bleeding ugly. Yeah.
Oh yeah, because my intensifier is just fucking. That's fucking amazing. It's like the only intensifier I have.
I'm still obsessed with that lady who wrote that letter, and I'm particularly stop thinking about it.
Line,
like it doesn't make you seem cool. I think that's one of the ones we've gotten before, like that it was something along the lines of like it, you're not cool if you're swearing. And first of all, yes I am. Fuck you. Second of all, that's not why I'm swearing.
Right. No, I wanted to point that out because actually, Geraldine, when you asked me to be on for this, I said I have an email I need to share with you.
Yeah.
But yeah, the you're not cool thing, I was just like, oh, that's what she thinks we're doing. I'm just like, no. I'm cool, and the words I use are cool because I'm cool. I'm not, like, you know, using them because I think that they're going to make me cool. But it's just such, like, a weird thing that, I don't know, I'm guessing that since she was in the military for 30 years that she's not the same generation I am, that, like, somehow, like, younger people think they're cool by cussing. I don't know what that is.
At one stage, it's because at one stage it was taboo. At one stage, it was societally taboo.
Sure,
people were always cursing and swearing. There's no doubt about it. It goes back to graffiti on the walls of Vesuvius or the walls of Pompeii in ancient Rome. Like, you know, people have always been swearing, but because it was not, you couldn't hear it on the radio and you couldn't hear it on the television because we didn't have Netflix or HBO or any premium where you're allowed to swear at 9 o'clock in the fucking morning. And we did a podcast where you can say whatever the fuck you want at any time of the day.
Right. exactly.
So if somebody did swear, there was impact to it. And sometimes people would say it in the wrong situation in order to sound cool. But I mean, that hasn't happened since anyone who's alive now was before. Like anyone who's still with us was in their 30s, I suppose, at the latest. Mm-hmm. Like it hasn't happened in a long time that swearing has made someone cool. And another one that we get all the time is it's not big and it's not clever. I was like, yeah, but there is nothing in the world that's going to make me sound big or clever. So fuck that.
What does it mean by being big? That seems different to me than
being,
in the US.
Being gracious.
Like big shot? Like you're like real.
Yeah.
Okay, big. Magnanimous. Okay.
Yeah, sort of thing. Yeah. And it does. Of course it fucking doesn't. Like.
Right, because everyone does it, mostly.
I think that depends, though, on the accent. If you've got a Northern Irish accent and you say a swear word, it does make you big. And I'm going to back the fuck away from that, let me tell you. So I think it depends.
That's like a swear word as an intensifier of the accent, because the accent itself to some people's ears, the accent itself can be a wee bit aggressive. It's kind of like Italian American New Yorker, you know, hey, I'm walking here, you know, that's those, but I mean, hey, I'm fucking walking here. It's like, okay,
interesting.
Whoa, that's serious now.
No, absolutely. You've like totally touched on something that's really interesting, because depending on where someone's from, like you said, in the US, if you know, the New Yorker maybe with fucking, it sounds like more aggressive, which is unfair, of course. But then if like someone in the South, which we're like, you know, have the stereotype that like, you know, Southern belles, like women that are just like, I don't know, like would never cuss. Like if they cuss, it's like in their Southern accent, it's like, oh, like cute or something, like, you know, like some way to undermine it, that it's not as scary or aggressive as if someone from New York or, you know, like these stereotypes that we have about just the accent, too. Like, it just reminds me that language discrimination or our language perceptions are just so, they're everywhere. They're so like embedded in everything we think about. Even swears, right? Yeah. So it's like the way that I can change depending on who says the same word is really remarkable.
The Irish comedian Dara O'Brien gave a great example of that in one of his stand-up routines years ago. He just said the way we swear, you have to be tuned into the way the Irish swear to get the real meaning. Like, for example, if you're sitting around at a family dinner and your mother says, will you pass the fucking butter? She just wants the butter. But if she says, will you fucking pass the butter? She's angry at you.
Yeah.
Huh. That's really interesting.
You just sent a chill down my spine there, imagining my mom saying, fucking pass the butter. Ah! What did I do?
I want to get on to something, Megan, if we can. This is a podcast not just about swear words, but also about the Irish language. And we have curses in the Irish language, but they tend in the main to be actual curses, as in I'm putting a curse upon you. The original
sense of
the word.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's where we get the word, like, you're cursing, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And for impact, we just tend to intersperse English sounding, like we've given them the sort of the Gaelic phonemes, but we've interspersed English words into our language. So, like, we would use things like fuck and fucking Oscailge in Irish the whole time. So you might only pick out one or two words out of a sentence, like, oh, come she's the fucking shop. I went down to the fucking shop, like, you know.
Fucking shop.
Yeah. But and I remember when I lived in Austria, the woman in whose house I was living, she would intersperse her Austrian German with English language swear words as well, because she just felt it was much more impactful. It felt like she was swearing if she said shit instead of scheiße when she dropped something.
Yeah. I hear them here too in Finland. I hear the Finnish language has great, has top tier swearing. Like, every word in Finnish sounds like a swear, so their swear words are chef's kiss, amazing. Like, the way to say I love you in Finnish is minä rakastan sinua, which sounds aggressive. So the swear words are great. They've got lots of R rolls. It's fantastic. But I do hear people, like, interject, like, shit and fuck into their like, English, you know, Pather and I have a lot to say about it, but it's got great swears, stellar swears.
It does. You know, I don't know. It's the ones that come from Old English, the ones that are very English, like they're short, they get to the point. A lot of the English, the words that are original, like in English, I mean, we've stolen so many words from different languages, but those short ones that are really from Old English, that we know that are, you know, like, it's, I don't know what it is, but actually my favorite word in English, that's not a swear, is smite. Which,
it's a great word.
Because I'm obsessed with the past tense, and the past tense is smote, which is also fantastic.
It's great.
Yeah.
Smote.
Yeah. And then the past participle is smitten. I mean, it's all beautiful. And that's like, that is an Old English word. Like, that's originally, you know, like, that's an English tried and true, like, old school English word, and I just love it. And I think it's the same reason why I like words like fuck. There's something about it. It's just, yeah, it's short.
But I think
and to
it's
the
wonderful
point.
We Pather and I have talked about onomatopoeia in Irish before, and I think Irish is a really onomatopoeic language that very often you can tell the content from the meaning of a word just from the sound of it.
Yeah.
But I think that's very true of swears, because, like you said, like, a lot of your key swear words in English are like four letters, sharp consonants, you know, quick and dirty. You can use them in lots of contexts. They're great. You can tell immediately that's a swear word right there.
Right.
That's what that
is. Right. It's, you know, the study that I mentioned, or one of the studies by this Richard Stevens guy, he did if fake swears versus real fuck or any swear, real swear, alleviated pain. And the fake swear word they made up in English was fouch. And they, like, tested to see whether people actually thought it sounded like a swear. And I was kind of like, I guess the F sound makes me think that, okay, it's going for swear. But it just it rhymes with couch and slouch. Like, I didn't really feel like it was much of a swear word. So, I don't know. Like, you know, we have to always be careful with studies and be critical eye. But I thought that was funny that was the word that they used as a fake swear was fouch.
That
poor old Dr. Fauci, huh?
That,
your man.
I know. Maybe that's why now.
that lenited final syllable, fouch, makes it seem very soft. Like, it doesn't have it doesn't have the punch of a shit or a fuck. Like, it doesn't end with the last syllable. It kind of trails off.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's not as good.
You know what's interesting about fuck is that the F and the last consonant, the K sound, they're both, like, voiceless. It's not like they're not even voiced consonants.
Yes. Oh man. Linguistics, eh?
Yeah. Right? But still, I mean,
it means that you can't fuck around with the emphasis. Everybody in the world, more or less has to say fuck in the same way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, okay, you can drag it out a little bit, or we have a stereotypical character in Ireland that a satirical character called Ross O'Carroll Kelly, and he represents a very wealthy part of Dublin. And the writer, it's very funny. He writes in Paul Howard. He writes some words phonetically. So he writes
in the accent of the person.
Yeah. So when our character Ross O'Carroll Kelly, when he says "fuck," it's written F-O-C-K, because in that accent it's "fuck." Oh my fucking god! I can't fucking believe it.
I hate hearing you with that accent.
What accent is that? Kind of sounds Californian a little bit. You almost got a little Californian. Kind of,
well, yeah, now that you mention it.
It's called the Dublin 4 accent, named after an affluent area. It's a postcode of an affluent area in Dublin.
Interesting.
But it's absolutely aping the mid-Atlantic accent that we would have heard on radio DJs in the 1980s.
Oh, really? Someone's
trying to sound halfway between Dublin and fucking Ventura Beach. Like, it's... so you end up with this sort of hybrid, everything sort of up in the nose, just like it would be in California, you know?
Yeah.
It's a little like that. It's
the nasally.
Yeah.
It's an acquired taste. I'd say there'd be a few West Brits knocking around there as well.
I'm learning so much.
Yeah, you're so welcome. We are an educational podcast. You heard it here, guys.
We'll take you on a tour. We'll take you on a tour next time you're available to come on the pod. We'll take you on a tour of Irish accents. But in the meantime, do you want to hear some Irish curse words? Irish curses.
Yes, absolutely.
Right back.
I was hoping that y'all would tell me some. So say it slow for me, so I can say it like you would, and then say it slower, so I can get I want to be able
Sure. Well, what we'll do is we'll send you on the how to spell these, because they're going to be very very tricky to decipher.
Yeah.
So there's a few of my favorites. Gnien an del dreamer de chnav de roma e piuca ul in ordin ifrin, or translated, may the devil make a ladder of your backbones to pick apples in the garden of hell.
Fab, love that.
Yeah,
that's
beautiful.
one of the shorter ones you can throw at someone if you wanna say someone is really frustrating, you know, that you can say "tuck has gone in your earth," which is "may you have an itch but no nails."
That's great though, isn't it?
Yes,
straight to the point.
Yeah, and I'll give you one of my all time favorites. Gnithe an catu is gnithe an dowel an cat. May the cat eat you, and then may the devil eat the cat.
What?
That's amazing, lads, huh?
But we don't tend to use those in day to day. We just tend to throw in an "el fuck."
Yeah, yeah. I tend to swear. Yeah. I mean, bodhlan. That's
an
asshole, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. There's also Amadon, Onshuk,
Onshin,
Onshin, if they're small. Yeah. There's lots of words for insulting someone's intelligence or demeanor. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But they don't tend to, I don't know if they're profane per se. They're not something
either.
That would
get
you kicked off the telly. Like, it's.
But would they be like, are they ableist? Like the, if
oh,
you're. No.
No,
they're not like attack.
I think.
Like,
perhaps in some context there would be that. That perhaps the, I think particularly, I had a conversation with my supervisor who's an Irish speaker about this one time, about the progression of the word for queer. And we were discussing whether or not the reclamation of the word had happened in Irish, and whether it had the same connotations in Irish, whether it was okay to use the word for queer. We were just discussing it. Her research is around queer studies and intersex people. So we were discussing it kind of on our lunch break. And, you know, I think it's the same sort of with some words that maybe insult people's intelligence, or there might be perhaps ableist I don't know, that they haven't had the same progression, say, that the English words have had.
The one thing that English has, I don't know if it's in its favour, really, but, like, English was the language of the ascendancy and the authority and the establishment. So when words were categorised, like, for example, the word moron has some very ableist undertones, because it used to be used to categorise a certain form of insanity. Likewise, lunatic and things like that. But in Ireland, the Irish language was never used in the mid 19th century in lunatic asylums or in what became mental hospitals, which became mental care facilities. The Irish wasn't used. English was the language of administration and bureaucracy.
Interesting.
So Irish avoided that association. Yeah. Now, there is the term ownshuk, which is problematic because it can only be referred to, it means idiot, but it can only be used to refer to a woman. So it is gendered. So therefore, as a gendered insult, it's probably best avoided.
Right.
When you can you can go for the gender neutral Amadon or Lebede. So you don't need to go for ownshuk. And, you know,
English doesn't have that problem of gender.
Yeah. You have to really lean in. If you really want to get misogynistic and say stupid bitch, you have to lean in and say it. So it's a very conscious decision. With Ireland, it's kind of just, it's there, it's sitting in the word, and it's an unfortunate association.
So when you use those swear, like you said, you don't really have much of swear words, but that's when you're talking about how you would throw in some fucks and some English swears at the same time.
Yeah, so if someone is being really stupid and really annoying you, you can call them an Amadon. Amadon is very useful. It means idiot. But if they're really, really getting at you, you just say fucking Amadon. So it's kind of
I would spell fucking F-O-C-A-I-N rather than F-U-C-K-I-N-G.
Yeah,
in my head it sounds like that.
Yeah, we Gaelicized it. Wait. It's ours now.
Yeah.
We fucking own it.
F-O-C-K-A-I-N, did you say?
No K. There's no K.
Oh, F-O-C-A-I-N.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but I can hear the difference between fucking and fucking. I can hear which one is the Irish one and which one is the English one.
Well, I cannot. So that probably does not surprise you.
Oh, and on that fucking bombshell, it has been a rare and rude pleasure to chat with you, Megan Figueroa. Could you tell us just a little bit about where we can catch the Vocal Fries if we want to become a subscriber or get your latest episodes?
Yes, absolutely. You can find us wherever you normally get your podcasts, and we're on Twitter at Vocal Fries Pod. Please, if you want to start off, you've never listened to us before, there's a whole episode on swearing where we just talk about how annoying it is that, you know, women are supposed to be ladies and not swear. So there's that to kind of segue into the Vocal Fries if you've never heard us before.
And I need to hop in here. I couldn't recommend it more. I have learned so much from listening to the Vocal Fries. I'm not a linguist, but I'm linguistic adjacent in my research. And it's so interesting. You learn so much. And I think you become a better person off it.
Oh, well, thank you. And you can listen to Garrity's episode.
Oh, yeah. I did an episode. Yeah, I fangirled real hard.
Yeah. If you've never listened, maybe you should start with that episode. It's so good.
Yeah, let me ease you into it and then go to the swearing. It's a real good. You learn a lot.
That's it. Garadine McAvoy, the gateway drug to swearing.
I will take that and I will put that feather in my fucking hat.
Well, just before we wrap up, it's worth pointing out that we've made it through this entire podcast with a linguist and a linguist adjacent person, and not one person has made a cunning linguist pun. So we should all be very proud of us.
Yes, very
proud of ourselves for that one.
Yes, although I feel like that the Marine Corps lady email with the greatly offended by the asshole fucking kind of did it for us.
Oh man, I hope her professor subscribes for some reason, says, you know what you should listen to? One singular episode of Mother Folklore. The name will start us off. Okay.
Well, it's been lovely. It's been a fucking pleasure.
30 years in the Marine Corps and all she gets is this fucking podcast episode. And on that note, it's a slán wamsha.
And a slán from me. And Megan Figueroa, thank you so much for being with us. We are delighted to have you. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you. Don't be an asshole, y'all.
This episode was brought to you by our very loyal and brilliant and sexy and attractive Patreon supporters. If you want to become a Patreon supporter, just go to patreon.com/Darek. It makes you 50% more attractive immediately, guaranteed. Terms and conditions apply, not a guarantee.
Sorry. And thank you also to our wonderful producer, Brian, who I demeaned thoroughly in this episode. I'm sorry, Brian. I do love you. And to Kirsten Scheele, our wonderful artwork person who does fantastic illustrations every episode. Thank you so much, guys. You're great.
Darek O'Shea will be back in the host seat next week, so normal fucking service will resume.
Slán, guys.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Oh, my aching hands from raking in grams and breaking in mic stands.